We're talking about the Ten Commandments, God's big ten for our lives. Today, we're talking about God's name. Now, understand, these Ten Commandments, yes, they are commands, thou shalt do this or thou shalt not do that, but they're more, they're life principles for relationship. Now, when you look at the Ten Commandments, the first four have to do with our relationship with God. This is how I want you to relate to me. The last six have to do with how we relate to one another. I mean, God cares about our relationships. He cares about how we see Him, how we interact with Him, but He also cares how we interact and engage with each other. So today, the name of God. Specifically, how are we supposed to use His name? So Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. This is in the New Living Translation. It says, "You must not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse His name." Now, let's go old school. Thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. That's how I learned it growing up. And I'll be honest, this is a commandment that, I mean, I have never used the Lord's name in vain, as you hear in the context of our society. Scared me to death. Because I respect His name. His name is holy and reverent. And it's just, I mean, since growing up from, you know, birth on, hearing this, like, I may do a lot of things wrong, but I am not going to do this wrong. That's right. But I want to talk about today what it is. Why is His name so important? You know, what does it mean to misuse His name? What is it, I mean, how do you do it? What does it mean? Why would God be so concerned if somebody uses His name in the wrong context or the wrong way? It's really this. God's name is a reflection of His character. You see, when you say His name, it means something. When somebody hears the name that is the highest name of all names, it should mean God. I mean, think about that. The creator of all things, the one who knows everything about you, what you've done, what you're going to do, and that He knows you personally and cares about you, that He can speak things into existence. This is God. It's a holy name. Our names are important. I mean, okay, so like right now, if I said, don't tell me the names, but you know, that one person in the community that has a bad name. We can think of somebody like, oh yeah, you know, Joe. Not Joe. Sorry, Joe. Okay, Felix. I don't know a Felix. You know, Felix. You hear the name Felix, that guy's a bad cat. Anybody watch Felix the Cat? Right? You know? That guy, you hear the name Felix and you're just like, ugh. Oh, no, I got it now. Lion King. And they say, Mufasa. And they're like, ooh. You know the hyenas, am I right? Okay. But you know, a name is a reflection of character. And if you misuse God's name, you are telling somebody else, this is who God is. And the last thing we should ever want to do as believers is mischaracterize who God is to other people around us. I mean, think about this right now. I mean, I'm going to get off topic here for just a moment. But look at our world. Look at our community. How many people give God a bad name? Well, God is intolerant. God doesn't care. God is unjust. He is unloving. He only cares about this. Is that really who God is? Is that His character? But yet, people can see that. So how have we misused the name of God to where when others hear His name, they say, that's not God. God is this. I mean, it should be God is love. God cares about me. God is patience. I mean, that's cool how, you know, they said, you know, a name and then what's your new name? Same thing. God's name, it's not a new name. It's an old name. It's the name that always has been. And His name is perfect. We're not talking about a legal name, a title, but a reputation. Think about God's reputation. When you speak His name, when you use His name, you are declaring who He is. What does your name suggest when it's spoken? Think about that. I mean, again, growing up, so I grew up in Nacell, Washington, and just like Mossy Rock, you can say a name of a person, and you can know good reputation or bad reputation. And what was really cool, and I've shared this before, but for me, I could go, I mean, when I was about fifth grade, I started riding my bike down the highway, and I'd find people that had tall grass, and I'd go up and knock on their door and say, "Hey, can I mow your lawn?" They say, "Well, who are you? Whose son are you?" I was like, "Well, I'm Randy Tinhara's son." I'm like, "Okay, absolutely." My dad's name gave me, opened the doors for my life in many ways. Because his name was held in esteem, he was known as a good man in our community, I had instant trust because of his name. And so then how I acted reflected on his name. That's one thing I never did. I mean, I was a good kid because I did not dare tarnish my dad's name. Amen. I didn't misuse his name. Same way, here we are. We are believers. How are we using God's name as his sons and daughters? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 21. It says, "Choose a good reputation over great riches. Being held in high esteem is better than silver or gold." It's all about our names. And you know what? It's all about God's name. In fact, it says in Proverbs and other places, don't worry about what people think about you. Just uphold the name of the Lord. See, if we uphold his name, if we defend his name, then he'll take care of everything else for us in our lives. All throughout the Bible, it talks about the name of the Lord. I mean, there's so many different places. But understand this as well. When I say the name of the Lord, it is synonymous. It's the same as saying God. To say, go forth in the name of the Lord. No, go forth in the Lord. It's the same thing. And I have a couple of verses to share that with you in a moment. I'm not there yet. Even when we're taught how to pray, it says, "Our Father in heaven." What's the next phrase? "Hallowed be thy name," is the King James. NLT says, "May your name be kept holy." Amen. God's name is holy. What does holy mean? Holy means it is set apart. Literally, that it is set above. It says that he is the name above all other names. And saying that, that means holiness. So we are to keep God's name set apart or holy above every other name. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. God's name. Anybody know what's God's name in the Old Testament? Jehovah. What if we want to go back a couple hundred years or a thousand years? Yahweh. There's actually, and they're synonymous again. Yahweh and Jehovah is actually the same name. It's just it's changed over the time as their language has changed. There's over 6,800 references to the name Yahweh or Jehovah in the Old Testament alone. In fact, go ahead and put it up on the screen. In Hebrew, there at one point there were no vowels in Hebrew, only consonants. And so to spell God, Yahweh, was YHVH. And these are the different Hebrew letters, Yod, He, Vah, He. So that's how you'd say it, Yod, He, Vah, He. And as you say it really fast, you say almost like Yahweh, right? What was that song we were listening to? Not My Way, Yahweh. Toby Mac, you know. But it's a cool phrase. I mean, we're going to the Carthage Grills, Not My Way, Yahweh. But anyways, and I hope that's not using his name in vain, because we'll get to that in a moment. Okay. So in Hebrew, you have these, go ahead and put it back up, please. You have these four letters for Yod, He, Vav, He. It wasn't until right around 1290, 12 or 1300, right around that point, actually it's 1278, that they changed the form to Yahweh, I have it right in my notes. YAHWEH, adding vowels as far as how we could say that. And it was actually the Tinsdale Bible. William Tinsdale and these other guys, the King James Bible, they started to make it to where we could actually pronounce what is being said. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Yahweh means, so these letters, YHVH, Yod, He, Vav, Vav, He, means he will be, he is, he was. This is God's name. He will be, he is, he was. God is eternal. I mean, when Moses came before God, he says, "What is your name?" He says, you tell them, I am. I'm eternal. I am. This is God. I was, I am, I will be. I am the one who has always existed. I am God. There is no other name like his name. If you go through Bible history, there's a point where Israel and Judah were thrown into exile. God's protection was taken off of them, and outside countries took them out of the land of Israel. Do you know why they were taken out of Israel? Because they had used the Lord's name in vain. Here's how they did it. They were profaning his name. Not by how they said his name out loud, but how they lived. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I have to do it now. Going back in the King James, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. That word take in the Hebrew, it means to carry. So think of it that way. I will not carry the Lord God in vain. Think of it as if you're carrying it with you. So as you're carrying this name with you, people see the name God on you. But then they look at you and how you live. And if you're living in a way that is contrary to the character or the reputation of the name that you're carrying, you are now misusing the name which you have declared on yourself. And so Israel were known as the people of God. They were carrying the name of God as the people of God. And everybody else around them would see them. They'd say, you are not carrying the name the way you say your God is. I don't see how your God is any different than our gods by how you live your lives. And because of that, Israel was taken into captivity away from their promised land because they used the name of the Lord. They misused the name of the Lord and they took it in vain. Israel was profaning God's name, not by saying it loud, but by how they lived their lives. They had the name of God on them, but they were worshiping idols like every other people around them. Think about that in relation today to our culture. There are so many people out there that say they're Christians. But if you look at how we live our lives, we say we're carrying the name of God. But what do people hear coming out of our mouths? What do they see us going and watching? What do they see us, what we go and listen to? What do they hear when we speak? Are they hearing us use the name of God as it should be used? Or are we misusing it by how we live our lives? It's interesting that after 594 BC, when Israel was on their way back from exile, going back to their land, they actually stopped saying the name of God because they saw it as so holy and so reverent. They could not even say his name unless it was written in the Torah or in the law and in context as they were reading it. But if they wrote it down, and even to this day, like if you go into any kind of Jewish website, they don't write down, they'll put like G space D. Because they don't want to put the complete name of God down because it's so holy and reverent that they should not even speak it or utter it. That's amazing reverence. I mean, maybe that's legalistic in how they do it, but think about that. They are so concerned about using God's name wrong that they think it's better to not even speak it or write it down. They do not want to profane his name. Let's get some scriptures here. So why were they scattered? Why was Israel scattered and put into exile? Ezekiel chapter 36, 19 to 23, it says, I scattered them in many lands to punish them for the evil way they had lived. But when they were scattered among the nations, they brought shame on my holy name. For the nation said, these are the people of the Lord, but he couldn't keep them safe in their own land. So think about this. Because they weren't carrying his name right. They lost their right to be there. They were saying, look, God won't even take care of them. So even in their exile, they were profaning his name because who they said they were, God wasn't able to protect them. So he said, you know what? I got to bring him back because if I don't, people can still profane my name. Then I was concerned for my holy name on which my people brought shame among the nations. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. Grace. I'm doing it to protect my holy name, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. I will show how holy my great name is, the name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their very eyes, says the Sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. We think of, we hear, I've said profane a number of times. What word do we think of when we say profane? Profanity. Misusing a name. You shall not carry my name in a vain way. A prideful way. When I say vain, what's the next word you think of?
Vanity.
To call ourselves believers, but be afraid of what somebody else might say or think about us, and so we act in a way contrary to our Christian character, the character of God, is to engage in our own personal vanity and misuse God's name. Well, if they know I'm a Christian, they may think this. Or I'm just going to laugh along with this because if I don't, they're going to treat me this way. See, vanity is about selfishness. What happened with Israel, they were taking God's name in vain because they were selfish. They were focused on them and what they thought rather than upholding his name. Vanity comes in when we want to look a certain way, an acceptable way in the eyes of others, more so than we want to look in the eyes of God. That's how his name can be misused and used in vain. All throughout the Bible, the name of the Lord is interchangeable with just his, who he is, Lord, the Lord. Proverbs 18:10. Have you ever heard this word or this verse? The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to it and are safe.
Amen.
Are you running to a name or are you running to God? Anybody? It's not your question. You're running to God. But yet it says the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. God is a strong fortress. His name is interchangeable. Because again, it's not like us where I could say Tara and there's 1,000 other Taras around. God is the only God. He is the only God. When you say his name, you're talking about the person. His name is synonymous with that. A couple more verses. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some nations boast in their chariots and their horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. It's not just the title, but the name of the Lord, his reputation, his character, who he is. You may have never seen this before, but Jesus, when he was praying, this is right as he's about to be crucified. And he's praying to his Father in John chapter 17, verse 11 and 12. It says, "Now I am departing from the world. They are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me what? Your name. Now, protect them by the power of your name, so they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of your name that you gave me. I guarded them so that not one was lost except the one headed for destruction, as the scripture had foretold." You see, there's protection in his name, that God the Father put his name upon his Son in order to keep us. And now that same name is on his people. And the scriptures say we're to keep his name holy. We're to not use it in vain or in profanity. We're to carry it in such a manner as we carry the power of God with us. Jesus kept his disciples in the character of the Father and in the name that was given to him by the Father. In the same way, we carry the character and the reputation of God in our lives. Romans 10:13, "For everyone who calls on" what? "The name of the Lord will be saved."
Amen.
We're calling on the reputation of God. John chapter 1, verse 12. This is the New King James Version because the NLT didn't say it right. "But as many as received him, to them" what? "He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name."
Amen.
Again, it's not a title. It's who he is. Philippians 2:9. "Therefore, God elevated him," Jesus, "to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names." This is important. Because again, in Jewish customs, the name above all of the names is Yahweh.
That's right.
It's Jehovah. God the Father gave Jesus the name above all other names. He placed it on him. He said, you know, the name God is here on earth in the flesh. It's a powerful thing. God says, don't carry my name in a vain way. So how may we possibly be carrying the Lord's name in a vain way? What might we be doing in our lives? So 3 points this morning. And also, how can we carry it in an honoring way? First is this, how we pray in his name. Israel was entering, again, going back to the time when they were receiving the Ten Commandments. They just left Egypt. They're on their way to the Promised Land. And all the people around them, all the nations, were pagan nations with pagan gods or idols that they worshipped. And what did they do? They prayed to these idols. Their field would be in ruin. Maybe it hasn't rained. So they'd carry their god with them. They'd take their god with them. They'd say, you are to provide rain because I have you here. Remember last week I was talking about about idols, how they believed when they carved an image that the presence of that god would come down and bless that idol. And wherever they carried that idol, they had the blessing of that god. So then they would now say the name of that god that they carried with them and say, bless my field. It's kind of like is it like a magic genie or, you know, a rabbit's foot, you know, the lucky charm? Like, oh, I rubbed you 3 times. Now you have to give me my wish. I brought you here. I said your name. Now give me what I said. That's how they used their gods. And God was saying, you are not to pray to me like that. I'm not your little genie. I don't do what you say just because you use my name. My name is holy. You don't use my name cheaply. You just don't get what you want because you pray it. Don't treat my name like others treat their God's names. I am the only God. Well, that's not me. Good. Using his name as a ritual. Something that you say in order to get something in return. You know, in Acts chapter 19, verse 13, I'll just give you a brief the brief story here. There's these guys, the 7 sons of Sceva, right? You ever heard about those guys? They saw Paul and these other guys that were doing great things in the name of God. And so these 7 sons, they come up and they see this person who's oppressed by demonic presences, and they come up to him and they say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, be set free. And then it says that the Spirit actually then spoke to them and says, you know what? I know who Jesus is. I've heard of this Paul, but who are you? And it says that the Spirit torment jumped on them and ripped their clothes off, and they ran away scared and naked. They were trying to just use a name. They said, okay, this is the formula. All we have to do is say, in Jesus' name, and it has to happen. Follow the formula, and it'll take place. That's misusing God's name. They use it in the wrong manner. We use his name in vain when we pray the wrong way. I mean, think about this. I say that, I'm thinking, how many of us are thinking, oh no, do I pray the wrong way? I don't want to pray the wrong way, because if I pray the wrong way, then, you know, I'm going to be punished. I don't want to take God's name in vain. How do I pray in such a way that I'm not taking his name in vain? We'll get to that in a moment. James chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. And the King James says, don't ask amiss. This word amiss, it means just that. It means, in the Greek, it means sick or miserable things. And he's saying, don't ask for things that are going to make you sick and miserable, because I'm not going to give it to you. The same way a parent's not going to give a child nothing but candy to eat. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, candy, candy, candy. Why? Because it'll make you sick and miserable. God's the same way as our Father. He's saying, don't ask me for things that are not good for you. Because it's bad for your life. Don't ask amiss. The right way that we should be praying is what we always hear. You know, his will. And I think even in saying that, Christians misuse that. Well, if it's God's will, we should understand what God's will is for our lives. We should be close enough to God to know what his will is and pray in alignment with his will. John chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Ask, using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy." God wants us to have joy in our lives. He wants us to have good things. His will is good things for us. But how many times do we pray things just out of our own selfish desires or our own wants? Out of our feelings rather than His feelings? How about this? Have you ever been praying about something and then you're sort of prompted to think, I need to pray for God's will. But then you don't pray for God's will because you really don't want God's will. Am I the only one that's done that? Am I that? You know, think about this. You're praying about something and you know you want to pray right. And you feel like God's saying, ask for my will to be done in this situation. And you're like, God, I don't want to ask for your will to be done in this situation because I want this. Right? I know what your will is going to be already and I don't want that. I want this. That is asking amiss. That is asking for something that is not God's best for your life, but you just want it because you want it. And it can be so many different things, okay? When you pray, use His name, but use it for His will and not for vain purposes. We use God's name not for selfish purposes, but for His will. Second thing is this, what we prophesy in His name. Now think about this. I say that, and you're like, oh, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not a prophet. But think about this, how we use His name. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 35 and 36, and then we're going to hop to Ezekiel 22 in a moment. You should keep asking each other, what is the Lord's answer? Or what is the Lord saying? But stop using this phrase, prophecy from the Lord. For people are using it to give authority to their own ideas, turning upside down the words of our God, the living God, the Lord of heaven's armies. I remember going through Bible college. They told us, don't say, thus saith the Lord, if you're in prophecy. Because if you're going to use that, you better have absolutely every word out of your mouth completely correct. Because you are saying what God is saying exactly this. They told us it's better to say, I feel God is impressing this. Because again, the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives is He doesn't just come into us and then just audibly move our mouths. He'll give us an impression. He'll give us a prompting. He'll accompany it with His word. And He'll say, this is the impression. And as you operate in a gift, you operate in conjunction or with the Holy Spirit. He just doesn't take you over and you're not just His little puppet mouthpiece. And so what He's saying here in Jeremiah is that it's better to say, I feel God is saying this, or what is God speaking to us? And then to try to explain that out. Ezekiel 22, 28 says, and your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions, making lying predictions. They say, my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. This is using the Lord's name in vain. Saying, God said something when God did not say anything. Now, it's interesting. We were in Bible college, Tara and I. She went to a year where I was at. And we'd just gotten engaged back to Phoenix, Arizona. And this lady came up to Tara and says, God told me you're not to marry him. False prophet. She's not going to go unpunished. I promise you that much. But still, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's something that goes with that. There's consequences when we say things in our own arrogance. I mean, think about this. It's very arrogant to say, thus saith the Lord. Bam. And honestly, most of the people that have said that to me in their own vanity, honestly, if I had followed what people say, thus saith the Lord, we wouldn't be in Mossy Rock right now. Because I had a board member as we were getting ready to come here to try out almost 8 years ago. God told me, you're not to go. It is not His will. I said, we must be talking to different gods because I'm going. And you know, but think about this. If we use God's name prophetically for our own benefit, or what we feel, what we think, and not verify it by His word and know it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, you're misusing God's name. And that will not go unpunished. Exodus chapter 27, chapter 20, verse 7. The Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse His name. It's the latter part of that verse. Jeremiah 14, verses 14 and 15. Then the Lord said, "These prophets are telling lies in my name. I did not send them or tell them to speak. I did not give them any message. They prophesy of visions and revelations. They have never seen or heard. They speak foolishness made up in their own lying hearts. Therefore, this is what the Lord God says. I will punish these lying prophets, for they have spoken in my name, even though I never sent them. They say that no war or famine will come, but they themselves will die by war and famine." It's pretty important that if you're going to come in the name of the Lord, that you say, "You know what? I think this is what God is saying." I mean, I'm not saying come and say, "I could be wrong. It may not be right at all, but I just feel," you know, go in confidence, but don't go in arrogance. They're two very different things. Don't say something's coming when it's not, and then say, "God told me this." This is where I think we're, again, when the children of Israel came out of exile in 594 BC, and they said, "You know, God's name is so holy, so reverent, we don't even want to say it." I think what has happened in the church, understand, we talk about God as our buddy, as our best friend, but He is God. Yeah. We are to approach Him with reverence, respect, holy fear. We should not treat Him as common. And I think this is what the biggest thing for us today. Don't treat God in common manners. Don't approach Him in just a common way. "Hey, it's Jesus. Hey, it's you know, JC." I mean, no, don't say JC. His name is Jesus the Christ, God the Son. In the same way, if we minister in His name, do it with reverence and awe of who He is. Third is this, how we speak His name. Leviticus 19, verse 12, it says, "Do not bring shame on the name of your God by using it to swear falsely. I am the Lord." So, I remember, again, growing up, we were not allowed to say, "I swear." And it could be the same as "I promise," but the idea was, if you say that you swear, you can only swear by the name of God, and you better not swear using God's name in vain. And so, you know, we didn't do that. But that's one thing. Leviticus 21:6, "They must be set apart as holy to their God and must never bring shame on the name of the Lord." This is talking about the priests, I believe. "They must be holy, for they are the ones who present the special gifts of the Lord, gifts of food to their God." Set apart, God's name is holy upon them, those who carry it. Have you ever, don't raise your hand, but think about how we use God's name so commonly. OMG. I want to encourage you, don't put that anymore. Don't text it, it's wrong. Don't say, "Oh my God." You are using His name in a common, flippant way, and He deserves more respect than that. It's funny. I mean, it's just become a common phrase. And Avery came home a couple months ago, and she goes, "Oh my God!" And we're like, "We don't say that." And we corrected that moment. It's like, we don't say that. God is not common. He's not a phrase. You can say, "Oh my goodness." Say, "Oh wow." "Gee whiz."
"Golly."
"Golly." But we don't say the Lord's name in common manners. You know, in our society today, I mean, you can't not find it on television or on the street or in the workplace. People who actually, when we say use the Lord's name in vain, use it in a curse as a curse word. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the level of arrogance to think that you could put the name of God causing damnation or a curse on someone or something, that is dangerous. It is the height of arrogance to use God's name in this manner. And think about it. I mean, it isn't unbelievable, but it's astounding that this is so common in our society that we've gone so far from God that His name doesn't mean anything. But I think for the church, for those who carry the name of God, we should carry it in a manner where we have honor and respect and reverence for the name, where there's no higher name than His. And if we're to follow this third command of not using the Lord's name in vain. If we want to have a strong relationship with him, we should respect his name and care about how we carry his name. So how do we say his name in a good way, not profane it? How do we proclaim it in a worthy manner? So I want to shoot up a bunch of psalms really quick. Psalm 44:8. O God, we give glory to you all day long and constantly praise your name. Then I will, Psalm 61:8. Then I will sing praises to your name forever as I fulfill my vows each day. Psalm 66:2. Sing about the glory of his name. Tell the world how glorious he is. Psalm 100:4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Psalm 13:3. Everywhere from east to west, praise the name of the Lord. Amen. See, if we use God's name, we should use it in the context of praising him, thanking him, speaking of who he is and how great he is to us in our lives and to this world. See, the best way to proclaim the name of the Lord is with praise and gratitude. So, again, growing up in the church my whole life, hearing the Ten Commandments, I've been conditioned to think of God as a God that I need to please by doing what I'm supposed to do. Follow the list. Do this, don't do that. But that's not a relationship. Again, I said God gave us these Ten Commandments not for us to do or not to do, but to draw us in a stronger relationship with him and other people. The whole Bible is about that. So when you hear, the Lord will not let you go unpunished if you misuse his name. I guarantee you, even as I was preparing and going through this, I thought, oh no, I've messed up royally. There are so many things in my life where I have misused his name, where I've not carried his name right. I'm going to be punished for this. I want to take just a couple steps back. The Ten Commandments, I mean, grace, I've talked about grace before. Grace is having unmerited favor. Even though we don't deserve something, we still have the ability to have something that we shouldn't even have. Going through the Old Testament, looking at Israel in Egypt, then in the wilderness, then in the Promised Land. When did God give them the Ten Commandments? Or when did God take, let me show you this right. When did God give the Ten Commandments to Israel? When they were the nation of Israel in the Promised Land? Or before the Promised Land? Before. When did God deliver Israel? Where from and when? From Egypt, right? God has delivered us from our sins, even though we didn't deserve it. God didn't say, okay, you're in Egypt right now. I'm going to give you these Ten Commandments. And once you can follow these Ten Commandments, then I will take you out of slavery. I'll take you out of bondage. That's not how he did it, did he? God took his people out of bondage, and then he showed them how he wanted them to live. That's grace. God didn't say, perform right, and then you can be saved. God said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save you from your sin. I'm going to save you from your slavery. I'm going to save you from your bondage. And now I'm going to show you how you can stay in right relationship. The Ten Commandments proclaim God's grace in our lives. If we have this idea that once I'm good enough, then God will want me, that's not grace. God saves us, and then he shows how he'll keep us. That's what the Ten Commandments do. The Ten Commandments show us how to be kept in a right relationship with God, and how to be kept in a right relationship with other people. Not get good enough and then I'll hang out with you. The Bible's about grace. The Ten Commandments are principles of grace. And so I want to just encourage you. Don't misuse God's name. I believe every time the Word of God is spoken, every time there's a sermon given, that the Holy Spirit is speaking to our lives. He's showing us things that we need to evaluate or maybe we need to change. And I just want to ask this morning, what is God speaking to you about his name? What is God speaking to you about how you carry his name as his son or as his daughter? As his representative? If there's areas of your life where you can say, you know what? I'm not carrying his name the way I should be. My encouragement to you is repent. That means just change. Go the other direction. Stop doing what you shouldn't be doing. If you use God's name in a selfish manner or an arrogant manner, in a vain way, just stop doing it. I believe the Holy Spirit will show you those things and he'll help you change because grace is available for everyone. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your name. Father, let us be a family of believers in Mossy Rock that carry your name well. Lord, if we've used your name in selfish or vain ways, God, we ask for your forgiveness and we repent this morning. Lord, if we've used your name in frustration or anger, God, I ask that you just forgive us for that. And Lord, I just ask that we would have a holy reverence for your name because it is above all other names. And it is the name which brought us to you. It's the name that saves us and keeps us. So Lord, help us to carry your name well, I ask in Jesus' name, in the name of your Son. Amen.